People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
About 6 million households in the United States pay more than half of their incomes for housing. Family homelessness is on the rise. And over the last 15 years, we've lost about 150,000 units of public and assisted housing as a result of sale or demolition. The Obama administration's proposed PETRA. It stands for the Preservation, Enhancement, and Transformation of Rental Assistance Act, to overhaul the way that the feds provide rental assistance to more than 4.5 million families. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, we're zeroing in on HUD's initiative to transform rental assistance. Our guest is Chris Guig, Executive Director of the Alameda County Housing Authority. Chris's background is extensive. She served as ED of both the Marin and Sonoma County Housing Authorities, as well as Director of the San Mateo Housing and Community Development Department and the San Mateo County Planning Department. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, since you clearly know the territory, can you tell us what housing authorities do relative to public housing?
Housing authorities are owners of public housing. Housing authorities were created in the late 1930s and in California own about 44,000 units of public housing. Public housing is assisted by HUD, by the federal government. We collect rents from tenants, and those rents are small in comparison to the operating needs and cost of running the developments, and so the federal government provides a subsidy to make up that difference.
It appears that the economy is creating a huge demand for housing assistance. I know a recent Wall Street Journal article cited a big boost in requests for Section 8 vouchers. What's the situation like in California and in the San Francisco Bay Area in particular? How long, for instance, is your waiting list right now?
Section 8 vouchers. Let me just for a minute explain what those are, because that is the other major program that housing authorities operate in this country. There, tenants find homes, apartments themselves. The units aren't owned by the housing authorities. What the housing authorities do is subsidize the rents on those, and we get federal money again from HUD to do that. So the tenant finds the apartment, the tenant pays a portion of his or her income toward the rent, just like they do in public housing, and then the housing authority makes up that difference. It's a tremendously popular program. In California, there's about 300,000 of these Section 8 vouchers that are administered by housing authorities. And because it's so much in demand, we all have very long waiting lists. Most of us have closed our lists because there's a point where you can't help anybody anymore. Or we have small waiting lists, but that's because they've been closed for a long time. In my case, in Alameda County, our waiting list is down to about 1,500 households, but the last time we had it open was in 2001.
So what's the chance that you're really going to be able to address the needs of, you know, say, 500 of those people?
It will be years before we can address needs because there is no new money added to the program. Back when the program first started, HUD would add money every year so that we could assist new households, but they haven't added new money in a long time, and so the only households that we all can assist are turnovers. So when someone leaves the program, then we reissue their voucher to someone else.
Let's talk about how the government's proposed transforming rental assistance program is going to work. Is it going to address this particular problem, or is it really more about restructuring how public housing authorities are going to be able to finance upgrading housing stock?
The PETRA initiative doesn't assist or impact really the Section 8 voucher program. except in one key way. But the PETRA program is primarily aimed at the preservation of public housing, because public housing, too, has suffered from a real disinvestment, and there isn't enough money appropriated by Congress to maintain it. Nationally, it's estimated that there's a capital needs backlog of about $30 billion. So PETRA is providing a tool for housing authorities to renovate that housing, preserve that housing, so that another 150,000 units that you mentioned in your opening statement aren't lost.
So what do you anticipate one housing authority in one particular county? What benefit do you anticipate getting from PETRA?
I would, in Alameda County, be able to renovate a couple, three of my public housing projects. Those projects need renovation, and I don't have the money to do that renovation. But PETRA would provide me the financing tools to do that. You know, people live in these units. These are, and we have an obligation to maintain them, and we can't maintain them with the money that we have.
I understand that the proposal calls for the use of tax credits in some cases. As we all know, tax credits are competitive. They're tough to access here in California. Do you think this legislation provides a solution to that challenge?
No. Some housing authorities will just use loans and not credits. Others will use credits. But this legislation, although it encourages the use of credit, doesn't provide any special set-aside of credits for the program. And that's one thing that we housing authorities here in California have said. We've written a letter commenting on PETRA. We've sent it to HUD, and we pointed out the fact that there should be a set-aside of tax credits for PETRA in order to make it viable.
There's been some concern expressed that projects under this new program might not be affordable in the long term. What's your thought on that?
Well, that's coming from some language in PETRA that says the housing authorities, once they convert these properties, will sign a 30-year use agreement. So some people are saying, what happens at the end of that 30 years? Does the project now convert to market rate? But in PETRA, there is language that says that the housing authorities will be required to accept every extension of that 30-year contract that is offered by HUD. It's not optional to accept that extension. You must accept that extension. So I think that kind of thing helps ensure that the affordability of the project continues past that initial 30-year period.
So there really are safeguards that are built into the legislation.
HUD tried to build in various safeguards, yes. Another concern people have is that these projects now, if they have private debt on them, you go to the bank, you get a loan, that the possibility of foreclosure now exists if something happens to the project. And there's a great deal of concern that those projects would be lost to affordable housing. But again, in the legislation, there's a requirement that the affordability provisions survive any foreclosure, which means that they're passed on to the buyer out of foreclosure. So they stay with the property. Now, lenders have some concerns about that, because, as you can imagine, with a legislation as significant and transformational as this, there's a lot of opinions and issues, and that's one of them.
Are there any features of the bill, Chris, that provide tenants with more options regarding where they might be able to live?
Yes, there is a provision, and when I had said earlier that it didn't impact vouchers except in one area, that was what I was referring to. There's a provision in here that the tenant, after living in a converted unit for 2 years, is able to get a voucher and take that voucher and move. And those vouchers come from the housing authorities, who in the bill are instructed to provide every third turnover voucher for tenants who want to move from a converted project. So tenants would have more mobility than they do now in public housing, because when you move in public housing, if you want to move, there's no assistance that you can take with you. You simply lose it when you move out.
Now, HUD's had other programs that allow for the upgrade of public housing, like HOPE 6. Would this replace HOPE 6?
No, it doesn't really replace HOPE 6. HOPE 6 has been around for about 10 years, and it is for major redevelopment of public housing. There's been projects done in big projects in San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, where they've torn down public housing, completely rebuilt it, rebuilt additional units of all kinds, affordable market rate, wrapped in commercial enterprises. You know, it's a major redevelopment. Whereas Petra is more targeted toward changing out the form of subsidy that's on the public housing, but not doing that kind of radical redevelopment. I've heard HUD people say that the residents would go to sleep as public housing tenants and wake up as Petra tenants, and nothing's changed.
So, Chris, what is the state of this proposed legislation right now? What are the next steps?
Well, HUD had put an appropriation request in with its budget, and neither the House nor the Senate funded it. So in terms of funding, it's not funded. The legislation itself is still there and alive. Different organizations and housing authorities continue to comment on it. The House Financial Services Committee had hearings on it, got a bunch of comments. So I'm sure that HUD is looking at those comments, taking them into account, probably making some changes, and will try to move this forward next year.
If people want more information about Petra and the Transforming Rental Assistance Program, where would you suggest they go?
You know, HUD has set up a website just for this. You could just go to the regular HUD website, which is www.hud.gov, and then in the search box, just type in Petra, P-E-T-R-A, and it'll bring up the page with all of the Petra information on it.
That's great. Chris, thanks so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you.
Chris Gouig, Executive Director of the Alameda County Housing Authority. For Eden Housing, I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.